I'm Casey Chung. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, a little ways away from home, but I'm a sophomore at Olivet. I'm studying youth ministry and communications. Not sure what I want to do with that yet, but wherever God takes me, we'll see. But I'm thankful for Pastor Randy to give this opportunity for us just to have a chance to preach and get to make connections and meet new people. That's super exciting, and I'm sure he can tell you how scary it was, the first church and preaching and all that. I got a call to ministry about 4 to 5 years ago. I've been spending this last 3-4 years running from that call. It's kind of scary just to dedicate your whole life to Jesus and just say yes. That's super scary, and I know we can all have our stories that go along with that. I don't think that idea of being scared ever goes away, but thankfully, he's behind us and pushing us and always in our corner, and the people around us who are praying for us and rooting for us, but he never stops reminding us of who we are and our purpose, and the constant reassurance. So I'm trying not to run from this calling of pursuing the younger generation. I'm also like really scared of middle schoolers because we're like the same height and they're mean. I don't know. but you know what? We'll see. Maybe children might be my calling. I feel a little more dominance if I'm there. I don't know, but yeah. All right, the first thing we're going to be talking about is the idea about light, which is a broad, huge, broad topic that who knows what it is, and I'm thankful it's sunny. We can kind of go alongside with that. But I'm going to be reading out of 1 John 1:5-10. I think it should pop up on the screen. If not, get out your Bibles and whatnot. All right. 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from the wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. All right, that is pretty powerful scripture, as it all is, but this section, this verse begins with in affirmations and the conditions that lead to both the negative and positives of living a proper Christian life. But John makes that bold statement that takes us back to the fundamental basics of what being a Christian is all about. He reminds us the nature of God himself and of that truth, which God is light. And first I'm reading that, I'm like, okay, what is light? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to anybody? So I looked it up, and it's the background of light is to the image of God as light is both Hellenistic and Jewish. And that means the categories of light and darkness belong to the universal language of religious symbolism, where it was originally stemmed from a religion of light. This declaration of God is light is the clear description of being the nature of God. It means that he is an absolute glory. Okay, still, I'm reading that, looking it up, okay, still kind of makes no sense to me. Maybe I'm just like only a visual learner, I don't know who else relates to that. But, so reading this, I'm like, okay, they're referring as God is light. But to me, obviously to all of us, we know God as many different names. Our friend, healer, comforter, savior, father, and just the idea of, okay, he's light. That's the definition of it. And that's the way he wants us to describe him is like, huh, that's That's interesting. We don't say that all the time. And then when I was diving into that, I was praying a lot in the verse in John 8:12, which is, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life." When Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am light of the world." So that's the second time he's referring to himself as light of the world. It was kind of hard to try to interpret these because I didn't realize how much truth is in that and how nice it is that he gets to walk with us as this light and light up our dark path, because obviously everything Jesus says is true and he is constantly bringing new life to us, which causes us to see him as the light, which may be a different way, like we've already said, than we're used to, but then he enables us to be the light. And that means to walk just as Jesus did. I'm trying to break down these concepts today and fully grasp, understand the understanding of why Jesus is constantly bringing us new life and breathing light into us and how he gives us the opportunity to always see light and in that light being him. He then equips us to being the light he calls us to be, which is how we're going to try to walk that out into our daily lives. Okay, the first part... I had an honestly hard time trying to figure out how Jesus is bringing new life into this worldly place. Because in Tim's Sunday school, we were talking about all the like sin and how this new generation has just constantly normalized living in that sin, and we've made it okay. We've talked about like how hard it is. We are constantly shaming each other, like living. We're in that same, like, what we talk about, sexual sin. We're like, shaming other people, but we're also living in it. But we don't want people to know we're living in it. But we're going to shame our brothers and sisters in Christ for doing so. I was thinking about that all Sunday school. Like, we have not normalized going to our brothers and sisters in Christ and living in, like, fellowship. I'm going out of order, but... He just had me so, like, thinking. My brain was turning. I was like, yeah, that is so true. And everyone was sharing about how hard it is and how, like, we've turned our back and on each other and we're expecting someone else to fix our mistakes. And I was just like, okay, wow, that's pretty convicting. Like, we sin, but we don't want anyone to know we sin. When we sin, we don't think it's wrong. But when someone else does the same thing we did, we're like, oh, yeah, they're not so good. But when I was first writing this sermon, I just kept writing in my first draft about how scared of, like, the idea of love we are. In this world, we're always called to be, like, super independent. If you depend on someone, then you're very weak. You're wrong. Yeah, you're not going to get through things well. And I just wondered, Why don't we want to trust anyone? Why do we have to keep living in that isolation? It's so normalized, and that's what we're called to do. I don't know. I just thought it was crazy that we just live in this world where we do not want to be let down at all. We look at people around us, and we try not to trust them because they're full of letdowns and hurt. Even from our church, people have so much church hurt, family hurt, friend hurt. We don't want to trust anyone. So that's true for me, at least. I did not want to move all the way to the Midwest from Arizona at all. Didn't know it was going to be dark by 5 o'clock and 20 degrees. I had no idea. I came... to school with like this little raincoat, and I was like, they're like, oh, where's your winter jacket? I'm like, oh, I'm wearing it, and they laughed in my face. They were like, no, this won't do it. And I'm just like, oh, well, in Arizona, our winters get up to like 40, 50, and everyone's shivering, and then I'm explaining that to them, and they're like, yeah, you're not gonna make it. I'm like, oh, okay, but, I don't know, I was super scared to move just across halfway across the country and, like, trust God with this calling on my life that I feel so unequipped for, we were also talking about in Sunday school how he equips us no matter what. He is bringing that into our lives, and I'm still struggling to see all those little places he's bringing new life into our lives. It's hard to see it because we get so like tunnel vision into the darkness and all our struggles that we look past what he's doing for us and the people he places in our lives. We forget the big picture that this life is only for him, and our decisions don't bring us life because he does. These temporary decisions aren't going to fulfill us. But, and how are we supposed to see him, which is light? How completely blessed we are that he understands our doubts. He sees us in the darkness that we might be in. And I was thinking darkness is described as sin, which is different to everyone. It's very subjective, but it is all around us. He thankfully meets us in the midst of that darkness which is depression, anger, anxiety, hurt, judgment. The list goes on and on. We're always living in that. Like, how exciting is that, that he knows us and wants to meet us in that hurt? He knows those feelings of loneliness and bitterness and scaredness. I mean, God sent down his only son just for us, just for everyone around us. But, like, we live in this new day of age, we're like, oh, Jesus doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He didn't have this iPhone, whatever, to compare it to someone else. But once again, he makes it clear in the verse. He says, in him there is no darkness. Living in that hardship is not exciting, but we get to share that with him and talk to him about it. He loves to hear us talk, even about the things we think are really silly. About, oh, thank you for the sun. I'm so happy it changed my life. He cares about that. He gets us in a way that no one will get us and ever see us. Sometimes I just want to like step back and like sit in that, because it's like in him there is truly no darkness. When we're walking alongside of him, there is no darkness. He is constantly shining through. In the darkness, we will always see his light, and that is the most purest thing we can ever experience. And he has no imperfections at all. Sometimes I can't even fully process how real that is. Because we like to sit. We like to think about ourselves and sit and like, oh, I did this. I thought about this. I'm such a, wherever our minds take us, so many different places. But he continuously loves us through our sins and through our dark thoughts. And I'm still working on learning that, because sometimes I have a disobeying attitude. I want to run. But I'm so thankful for his understanding and his everlasting light. And going back to those imperfections of the world, I never thought of darkness being described as imperfections. He restores this life that we're living with his merciful grace. Sometimes it seems that Jesus reveals his grace in our life in a difficult way. He wants us to kind of seek after him and yearn for him. And for me personally, I think he tends to make himself evident to me in a harder manner, which makes things more difficult for my life, because he's given me so much grace for not trusting him. He is constantly breaking through the darkness with his light. And he's always making himself evident. Even when I'm struggling of living out my call at Olivet, do I really want to live a life of ministry? Do I really want to walk down this path? And we tend to like put them in this box of like, okay, answer this for me and I know you're real. Answer this for me. But, and when I do that, I'm like, okay, I need this amount of money to stay at Olivet. I'll need this and this. And then when he meets that and we're just like, oh no, you met that. What am I going to do now? But he reminds us that he's always right, and sometimes we have no idea what we're talking about. maybe I'm just, is anybody an older sibling in here? Who's older? Yep. So I'm the older sibling too. I don't know if I'm just very, like, if we're all like very stubborn and think we're right, because we normally are, but like, we're going to stand our ground until we convince everyone that we're right and they're wrong. But, which is the hard part because he calls us out on that. he tells us we're wrong or making the wrong decisions. He's always constantly humbling me. Like, I thought I was going to go to school in San Diego at Point Loma. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on the beach tanning, doing whatever it is I need to do. And he's like, no. Midwest. That's where you deserve it. But, aren't we blessed? He shows us that in, like, himself in the decisions that he allows us to choose and make, which is by meeting someone new, a new job, a new school. I don't know. That's so exciting to me. He encounters us, and he allows us to encounter him in ways we never even thought we would. He never stops showing himself, even when we make it harder for ourselves by not spending enough time with him. He loves to make his light evident to us no matter what. It is so relieving that Jesus is this everlasting light in our lives. In the midst of all that darkness and hurt, it's like that one song, the Lighthouse song that I always think of. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it goes like, my lighthouse, my light. Yeah. But I just think that song, when I listen to that song, is like, okay, he's always shining through the darkness, even when we're, I don't know all the words, but something like that. Yeah. I'm just get so amped up about it because I'm still just thinking about our Sunday school class. We're just talking and so like hyper fixated on what other people are doing wrong, we're not realizing like all the light and joy he's bringing into these decisions and the new people. Like, okay, let's go back into scripture. I'm rereading it. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus. His son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. We and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us all from unrighteousness. So when I was reading that, there's a lot of if statements in there. If this, which is what I think we tend to do. Okay, if you do this for me, God, I'm going to do this. If you do this for me, God, I'll do this. But I've been trying to do these new statements in my prayer life. It's like, okay, God, when I take the first step, we need to stop just like putting him in this little box. Okay, God, I'm going to listen to you if this happens. And changing some of those if statements to when we confess our sins, he is faithful, because he's always faithful. He's constantly encouraging us to walk like him and as he walked, which is very, very scary and high expectations. Because, we were saying in this generation, no one really likes to be called out. We like to live... like, we know what's best for us, we know what's best for everyone else, And we try to stay out of everyone's business as much as we can. Oh, don't bother them. Don't learn anything new about them, because that's just not our place. But he challenges us and encourages us to call one another out. It's kind of scary, allowing yourself to be vulnerable with the people around you. Because I'm terrified of living in this constant darkness with no one to call me out and push me towards him. And I think we all have this fear of people judging us, even though we judge each other, but we don't want to get into that. But the only thing that should matter is what we think of Jesus and what Jesus thinks of us, not what the people around us are thinking, and not what we think about anyone else. I just want to encourage us, are we purposely creating relationships in our life that will speak light into our relationship with Jesus? In creating these relationships where we don't have to worry about impressing them. That's pretty hard because, you know, like we say, we're in that day of age where you got to have the next best thing, biggest thing, new car. But what does that matter when they aren't willing to push us in our faith and challenge our relationship for the better with the Lord? He created fellowship to be such a personal and vulnerable thing. But knowing God and understanding him and how to be like him will change everything. And as I was praying about that, okay, what does that mean? An example I thought is still in 1 John 4:17. In this way, love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. For in this world, we are just like him. I read that, I took a breath. Thank goodness we're just like him. We were created to be just like him. And instead of looking at it as this really scary thing that we'll never live up to, we just get to try to embody this perfect example of light, which is Jesus. The more we immerse ourselves into him, the more light we become. Meaning the more time we spend with him, the more we become like him. And the more relationships we build that are like him, the more that will be like him. He calls us to be a light in this dark world. We tend to get lost and run to the darkness because it's an intimidating thing. Christians, we're called to this higher power, higher way of living that other people just don't necessarily have. But he applauds us and looks down at us with a satisfaction that we won't get anywhere. Like, how exciting. He just smiles on us when we're making these decisions that we don't think are anything out of the ordinary. He's proud of us. So we're just called to go be that light that Jesus calls us to be and continue to walk in his light away from the darkness. For he is a forever light that continues to purify us through him. But he does not call us to be perfect, but to be super intentional with him. And be intentional with those around you who are going to either encourage or discourage the light you choose to shed over the darkness. And I just want to step into that. Are we seeing that he is creating life into our life? Are we creating these parts of fellowship that we need that will push us towards him? I mean, I know it's something we're all still working on. I'm always working on it. Having to trust people. A season of trust is so difficult. Okay, God, support me through this. Pray, find a new way to pray into that. Okay, I'm praying for my future friend. I'm praying for my future spouse, coworker, teacher, anything. I'm just so thankful that he's a light and shining through on this sunny day. I just want to close out in prayer for us, if that's all right. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being an endless light in our life. I pray that we find it a little easier to walk as you did when you were on earth. We love you so much. Thank you for constantly loving us, even when we don't see it, and we've trapped ourselves into this box of hurt, shamefulness. I pray that we find it easier to see what a great light you are and find new ways to see you throughout this week in the light that you're shedding on us. And we're praying for everyone in this community and praying for everyone in this church that you're here today. You're here with them. You're bringing revival every day in their lives. You see them and you want to sit with them. And you yearn for their presence. And I pray that they yearn for yours as well. And just thank you for being you. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Casey. So I just have a closing song, and you're welcome to sing along or just sit and reflect, take whatever posture you need, but this is Salt and Light.
Oh, the beauty of the King. You make righteous those who seek. You have written and redeemed my story. Let my eyes see your kingdom shine all around. Let my heart overflow with passion for your name. Let my life be a song revealing who you are. For you are salt and light. Oh, the love that set me free. You bring hope to those in need. You have written and redeemed my story. Let my eyes see your kingdom shine all around. Let my heart overflow with passion for your name. Let my life be a song revealing who you are. For you are salt and light. You are love's great height. You are deep and wide, a consuming fire. You are salt and light. You are love's great height. You are deep and wide, a consuming fire. Let my eyes see your kingdom shine all around. Let my heart overflow with passion for your name. Let my life be a song revealing who you are. You are salt and light. You are salt and light.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I'm so thankful that God sent you our way today. You blessed our hearts today, both of you. And we are big supporters of the program, and we're big supporters of you guys. And I know ministry myself personally. I've told this testimony. I've been in the church for over 30 years, was raised in church beyond that, but part of the Nazarene church for 30 years, but never thought I'd ever be a pastor, ever. Until God one day slapped me upside the head, shoved me through the door, and said, "Here you go. Now do what I ask you to do." And it's scary. It really is. But I know that He has always lighted my path, and that's what He is to me. He shines the light in the areas of my life that needs to be changed, and He's always guiding my feet wherever I go, and that light that He shines always dispels the darkness. And that's a wonderful, wonderful message. Amen.
Amen. You know, Randy, we've had a lot of young people like them here, and it's encouraging.
Yes.
You know, her message, I know she, were you nervous a little bit?
Always. Always nervous.
Amen. Good.
And I could have went up and told her that privately, but there's nothing she needs to be encouraged.
Yes.
And
yep.
You did.
Yep. That's why this is so important. You guys get to go and travel and meet people. It's fun. Yeah, it's exciting. Well, thank you all this morning. I really appreciate you guys coming today. And I hope that your day is so blessed. Tonight we have another meeting tonight, missionary meeting. There will be food. That's encouraging. And it's always good. We got chicken coming. Yeah, we like chicken. Just a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So if you're come tonight and enjoy fellowship tonight and hear a good missionary lesson about what the church does all over the world in missions, you know, we're a big supporter in that. And so I'll see you either tonight, Wednesday nights. We have our Wednesday night service. And if you're available to come on Wednesday night, I think you'll enjoy it. We really have some good discussions on Wednesday night. So, but we're going to Hunan's, right, girls? That's where we're headed. Yeah, Hunan's. That's in Carbondale. Yeah. Oh, man. They got some good grub there. Anyway. Yeah. Teddy's excited about Hunan's. All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Lord, you're doing a mighty thing in this country right now. You're revealing yourselves to the hearts of young people all over. And so, Lord, that's encouraging because we get to see it. And Lord, but our faith tells us we don't live by sight, we live by faith. And so, Lord, we are faith. We place in trust, we trust you. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for Casey and Gemma, Lord, and I pray that your anointing follow them wherever they go, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit abound in them as they speak your word and share the gospel to everyone that they meet. Lord, give them what they need. Lord, I pray for this church, everyone that's here this morning, the ones that are not here this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be that light to this dark world. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.